Like I said, I wanted to just say a few words about our friend Sheldon Tenenbaum, Zichrona Levracha. We were all obviously very shocked to hear this news that he died rather suddenly this week. There were all types of bad news that seemed to be visiting the community at large. The people in this room were all still davening for Phyllis, you know, who's very much needed here. She's the most... somebody said jokingly, she's the most serious man at the 740 Minyan every morning. Mm-hmm. But the quite shocking, very sudden death of Sheldon this week really made me think about that Gemara in Shabbos. It's Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kufhei Omid Beis. The Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Echad min ha'achin shemeit yidagu kol ha'achin kulan. V'echad mibnei ha'chabura shemeit tidag kol ha'chabura kula. Omer lei demeit gadol, v'omri lei demeit katan. When one of your siblings dies, all of the siblings should be concerned, should worry. It's a machlokas how to interpret the Gemara. The more parochial interpretation is that if one of the brothers passes away, all of his siblings have to worry, have to take care of the arrangements. But that's not the way the Gemara is widely interpreted, and probably correctly interpreted. That when the first of your siblings passes away, again, assuming that we're talking about people that pass away at a proper age, not some young tragedy, but everybody has a certain number of siblings. You generally have some siblings. So the first member of your machzor that passes away, it's you start thinking, oh my goodness, we're up on deck. The Medrash in the Seder Olam Rabbah learns it from this week's Parsha, or from the end of this week's Parsha, the beginning of next week's Parsha. Beginning of Shmos, it says, V'yamat Yosef v'chol echav. V'chol adorahu. So the Medrash says, Dorshu Yosef meit ben meyav eser shanim. Yosef was the youngest of his siblings to pass away. Meaning everybody reaches a certain age, and his is the youngest of all. He was the youngest of the brothers to pass away. Meaning he lived the shortest amount of time. Levi lived the longest amount of time. But from the period of the first of the brothers to the last of the brothers, it was Chozman Shayu Levi Kayam Lo Nisht Abdu Yisrael Mitzrayim Shneimar V'Yamad Yosef V'Chol Echav V'Chol Dorahu V'Yakam Melech Chadash. Right? In other words, there's this process from the death of the first of the generation to the death of the last of the generation. Mashma Levi Hitchilu HaMitzrim L'Sha'abdam. But only once Levi, the last of the surviving brothers to die, shuffles off the mortal coil, does the Shibud Mitzrayim begin. Mikan Amru Echad Min Ha'achim Shemet Yidagu Kol Ha'achim Echad Min Ha'chabura Shemet Tidag Kol Ha'chabura. Now the Gemara says, Yesh Omrim, this is when the Godol Shebechabura dies. Right, in the natural order of things, you have 12 brothers, the oldest brother is going to die first. So maybe Godol means the eldest, maybe Godol means the greatest. You have a Chabura of people, and one of them is the chief, one of them is the big man on campus. He's the center of gravity around which the rest of the social unit rotates. So that Vomri law, no. Maybe it's the Katan Shebenehem. The Rambam interprets this Gemara. The Rambam echoes this Gemara towards the end of Hilchot Evel, the laws of mourning. The Rambam says, Kol mi she'enu mitabel kemoshe tzivu chachamim hareze achzari. Somebody who doesn't release his emotions, somebody who doesn't, he's not talking about somebody who didn't tear the kriya, the proper number of centimeters. Right? And somebody who doesn't have the emotional response of Avelus, is achzeri, is cruel. It shows a lack of the kind of emotion that the halakha requires, that Judaism requires. But what should you do in response to avelus? Ele yifchad v'yidag v'yifashfesh b'ma'asav yachzeru b'tshuva. A person should be fearful and worried and concerned and should examine his deeds and should chozer b'tshuva. Avelut, mourning, whether it's literal, you know, availed with a capital Aleph, when it's one of your close relatives, or an extended availut that affects a community, or that affects a chabura, as it's affected us, this is meant to be an impetus to tshuva. And then the Rambam continues, quoting our Gemara, ve'echad mibnei chabura shemet tidag kol chabura kula. If one of the group passes away, everybody, it's incumbent upon everyone to do tshuva. The Gemara says it's not clear whether this means... I mean, the Rambam does not quote the end of the Gemara. The Rambam doesn't specify which of the Bnei Chabura requires this. But the Gemara says some say this means the Godol of the Chabura, and some say it means the Katan of the Chabura. It would be hard to say that Sheldon was not the Katan Sheba Chabura. I mean, first of all, he was a short, slight little guy. But it's also true, and for this we have to do tshuva. We didn't know him very well. More than one of you said it, and I'm embarrassed to say I had the same reaction. We didn't know him very well. I mean, in fairness, he didn't live immediately in the community. He wasn't one of the regulars in the shul. He would come specially from the shir, from the other side of the neighborhood. But that's not much of an excuse. That here we are, some of us have been learning together now for many years. Some are newer to the group. Some of us have been friends and neighbors for many years. This year's been going on now for, I think, about 16 years. Not all of you have been with us the whole time. But here's somebody learned with us once a week for a couple of years in his quiet Sanua way, would come in, would look for that Gemara on the shelf, would sit down. I don't remember him opening his mouth maybe three times in all the years he came to the shiur. And we should all do tshuva. I remember Rabbi Menachem Schrader once saying in last week's parsha that when Yosef sends the brothers back to fetch Yaakov and to bring him back to Mitzrayim, and he sends them back with these wagons laden with gifts. Yaakov, who, let's assume Yaakov had been in deep mourning for Yosef all those years, didn't know Yosef was still alive, which seems to be the pshuto shel mikra. When he sees those wagons, v'tchi ruach Yaakov, his spirit was revived only when he sees those wagons. Why? So maybe the pshat is that they say Yosef's alive, he's the hotshot in Mitzrayim. I mean, who would believe such a thing? Right? And he only believed once he saw these wagons laden with gifts that he believed, Taka, maybe you'd have to be the king of Egypt or the viceroy of Egypt in order to be able to send such gifts. But Rashi says, you know what Rashi says? Rashi says it was a coded message. The last sugya that Yaakov and Yosef were learning together was the sugya of the Egla Arufa. Now, you can understand why the Midrashic imagination draws our attention to the Egla Arufa. Right? The Egla Arufa, the ceremony by which the people who might might feel some responsibility for the death can wash their conscience, wash their hands, and say, we didn't shed this blood. So maybe it's maybe the point of the Medrash is Yosef to send a message to Yaakov, don't blame yourself for what happens. But Yaakov sees the agalot, and he remembers what they were learning, and he says, ah, it's a coded message. I know for a fact, because only... Now, that makes perfect sense, except for the fact that... That's perfectly logical, except for the fact that it doesn't make any sense at all. Right? In other words, Yosef could have sent any number of messages, any number of codes, so that we would know it was really him. Like, he could have sent him a glass of water, and Yaakov would have remembered the time Yosef had the chicken pox as a little kid, and he brought him a glass of water at night, or who knows what. He could have sent him, you know, the box score from the last baseball game he took him, whatever it was. Imagine whatever your kid would send you. So Rabbi Schrader said, no, obviously, what's the point? The fabric of all relations between people, between Jews, is meant to be the Talmud Torah. What's the last thing we talked about, Abba? Last thing we talked about was that Gemara we were learning. Forget the anachronism of the Gemara, of the Medrash.
They were learning the Gemara.
What?
Maybe they were learning the Pasuk, not the Gemara.
Maybe they were learning the Pasuk, also anachronistic. But the point is that the framework of our relationships should be the Torah that we share. So we who really takadu share Torah, we sit and we learn together once a week. That should be the fabric on which a real relationship is built. So ask yourself, you sit next to that guy to your right or your left every week, week after week. You know his wife's name? You know how many kids? I didn't know you had a kid who was a Chabadnik. Right? Not that there's any shame. Not that there's any shame in that. Right? This should be. I had good fortune all the years I was in YU. I always had very good chavruses. Not that I was such a chacham that everybody wanted to learn with me, but I had a different virtue. I always showed up on time. You know, in a chavrusa, half of the work of a chavrusa is just showing up. And so I was somebody that was considered, like, I showed up on time, right? So if you were a good guy and you wanted to, have a good chavrusa who you could count on to be there every morning at 9 o'clock and not disappear and whatever, so you could learn with Sachs. And, you know, his hasmoda made up for his shortcomings in other areas, like being able to read the Gemara. And one year...
Started learning at 9 a.m.
9 a.m., yeah. What morning Seder, why you started at 9? Is that later or early?
It's late.
Oh, wow. So one year I had a chavrusa who was a very good learner. But he was very, 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 very makpid. Not to have any batala. Right, so I would show up, but, you know, a little batala, you need to... And he had this little card that he, like an index card, that he had typed on it. I'm makbid not to speak Dvarim Batalim in the Beis Medrash. Yeah, somebody would come over to him and say, hey, how you doing? What are you? I heard you're going out with this girl. Hey, where are you going for Shabbos? What are you? Right? So he would take out the card, and on the card said, I'm makpid not to speak Dvarim Batalim in the Beis Medrash. Please speak to me after Seder. So this was, it was probably the best year of learning I had in YU. But he really, you know, there was always this idea in yeshiva that, like, you know, like the best chavrusa would be somebody, you don't know anything about him. Like, maybe besides his name. You don't know where he's from. Because in order to know where he's from, or what he did for the summer, or was he going out with that girl,
you'd have to talk to him.
And any talking you'd be doing would be al cheshbon learning. So maybe once upon a time, I subscribed to such a youthful fervor. But I no longer do. And you know, not to speak the praise of Bittul Torah. But in reality, we find time to do lots of other things that aren't Talmud Torah. And one of the things that we might find, one of the ways that we might do tshuva as a sign of avelus for our poor friend Sheldon, who we can raise a glass and say, Sheldon, we hardly knew you. And that's to our loss. And that really is to our loss. And it's something that we ought to do tshuva for. Because the people you learn with, learning Torah is an expression of your... It's an expression of your love and friendship for other people and for your children. That's why parents are obligated to teach Torah to their children. It's the deepest, most profound sign of love. The same way that you put clothes on their back and food in their stomachs, you put Torah in their hearts and their minds. And Torah is the foundation of Ahava, V'achva, V'sholom, V'reus. And we all ought to do, we all ought to do tshuva. It shouldn't be that you come to shul. I'm talking to people that come to shul to learn the daven, right? Not to the people that don't make use of the facilities. Right? It shouldn't be you come, you daven at the same minyan every morning, you sit next to that guy, you don't know anything about him. You don't have to find out in the middle of Birkas Kriya Shema. There are other opportunities. And, you know, if there's anything we can, anything we should take away from this, I think this is it. So, to Sheldon.
Time.
Okay. We were in the middle of the sugya of Birkas Kohanim.
He was a Kohen.
And he was a Kohen. I did know that. I did know that. Pass these around. We're going to do this for at least 2 weeks. So you can either return them to me at the end or you can hold on to them for next week. We were learning the Sugya Birkas Kohanim in Megillah. And I wanted to look at this shiur from the Rav, from Rabbi Soloveitchik. This is in the Shiur Mezecher Avi Mori, Zal. The shiurim in memory of my father, Murray. No. The shiurim in memory of my father, my teacher, of blessed memory. The Rav gave a Yahrzeit shiur every year for his father. And many of them were published in these two volumes that were put out by the Twerskys and the Lichtensteins, and it was recently republished. This is the old edition. I don't have the new. The new edition is from Masada Rav Kook, which fixes all types of typos and other things. One of the shiurim is on Be'inyan Nesiat Kapayim, on Duchen. The Rav will give this very long shiur. The first half was like a shiur in halacha, and the second half was like a shiur in agadah. Now, all of those shiurim in agadah, not all of them, many of them, were published in these volumes, what are they called? Divrei Hashkafan, Besoda Yachid Vayachad, and Divrei Agud Varachad, all these things. And like if you get the decoder ring, you can find out which Machshava Shi'ur was the second half of the Halacha Shi'ur, but they each have a corresponding. I think there's a Shi'ur. I think the Shi'ur that corresponded, this is something, it has the word Bracha in the title. What's it called? Yeah, I forget. So this is the final section of this longer Shi'ur about duchening, and he refers to our sugya, which is why I selected it. He begins with a long quote. The first paragraph here is a long quote from this Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota says, "Bizman shekohanim mivarchim et ha'am, ma hein umrim? What do the people say while the kohanim are giving them the bracha?" Now, I don't do this. I couldn't even tell you what those psukim are. Not these psukim in the Gemara. These are not the psukim that we say. But you know, in many sidurim, there are these like meditations to be recited. There's one about dreams, and there's one about other things to say when you say. right? I mean, we.
You don't say those in Israel, or is
it doesn't show up in any of the Israeli Siddurim.
Because it's in the American.
Because in Israel, you say you have davening every day. There's no time in the States.
Where they schlep it out.
When they sing their song,
you might be putting the cart before the horse. I think it might also be that the Minhag wasn't saying, that's why, when we don't schlep it out. I think it might be Minhag Agra.
Right, so the Minhag Agra is not to say any of these kinds of things.
Therefore, you don't have to schlep it out.
Right. But all of that, those things that either are said or aren't said in the Chutzlaretz or elsewhere, that's not what this Gemara is talking about. This Gemara brings a whole variety of psukim that would be recited during the Birkat Kohanim in Beit HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, "Bizman shekohanim mevarchim et ha'am, ma hein omrim? Omer Rabbi Zera, Omer Rabbi Chista, Baruch et Hashem malachav, Kiborei koach vegomer. Baruch Hashem kol tzvav mishartav, osei retzono. Baruch Hashem kol ma'asav, v'chol mekomot memshalto. Baruch nafshi et Hashem." So three psukim, in this case all from Tehillim, that all make reference to bracha. B'musafei d'shabta mahin omrim. So for each time there was duchening, there was a different set of psukim that were recited. So that the beginning of the Gemara is talking about the everyday duchening. But on Shabbos, when you have musaf, so there are different psukim. Right? Mahin omrim. Omer Rabbi Asi shir hamalot hinei barchu et Hashem kol avdei Hashem v'gomer. Su'u yideichem kodesh uvarchu et Hashem. Baruch Hashem etzion shochem yushalayim haluya. V'lei manami yivarech Hashem etzion. Dichtiv bahahu anyana. Omer Yehuda barei dereb Shimon bapazi. Mitok shehitchil bebirchotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Misayim bebirchotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a little difference of opinion which bracha you should say. But which pasuk you should say. What? Say? Yeah.
So seemingly that they did do duchening in Babel.
So presumably they did do duchening in Chutz Laretz. Presumably they did duchening everywhere up until this, like half the Jewish world still does. Not like this Ashkenazi practice where we exiled duchening from the exile and sent it back to Eretz Yisrael. That seems to be a later phenomena. But the Gemara is talking, as we'll see, even though this is the Bavli, the Gemara is talking about what was the practice in Beit HaMikdash. B'minchata de ta'anita ma'amrei. On mincha of a ta'anit, you know, we when do we do duchening on a ta'anit at mincha? Only if you daven mincha katana. If you daven mincha at the beginning of the afternoon, you don't have duchening. If you daven mincha at the end of the afternoon, you do have duchening. Why do you say like ne'ilan yom kippur?
Because close to
mincha. Right. So the Rav. So if you're interested in this, earlier in this piece, the Rav develops this idea that mincha on a ta'anit. It's on Thursday. There's going to be this tefillah in the park for the gishamim. The humor of the advertisement that in the event of inclement weather,
it'll weather yeah,
in the event our prayers are answered before we utter them.
Yeah.
So mincha on a ta'anit, the Rav develops this idea, has an element of ne'ilah to it. We only daven ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. But the idea of an additional prayer, that the prayer has a different element to it on a fast day. So the Rav develops the idea that mincha on ta'anit tzibur has tzvei dinim. There are two things going on when we daven mincha. When we daven mincha, we're davening mincha, but we're also davening mincha as a kind of ne'ilah. Because at that moment, at the end of the day, on a ta'anit, and this is why some people are careful on mincha, on a ta'anit, to always daven towards the end of the afternoon, you fulfill the idea of ne'ilah, that the day is coming to a close, that this day of tshuva and slicha is coming to a close, and that's why you have duchening at mincha on a fast day, if you duchen after if you duchen in mincha ketana. So b'mincha detanit may omre. So omer avacha bar Yaakov, and then he brings the variety of psukim. V'ne'ila diyom akipure may omre. Omer mazutra omer la b'matnitin hine ki chen yivarech v'chule, and he brings the three psukim. Hechomran, so these psukim, and as they give you the menu of the psukim for each of these four tefillot, Shacharis, Musaf, Mincha on a fast day, and Ne'ilah. How do they say them? Like what? Like how does this work? When were they saying these psukim? So what would you think? Unless you've learned ahead, tell me, what would you think? How would these three psukim be recited? Yeah, well, maybe they. And there's three brachot that the Kohanim give. So maybe these are responsive to each of those brachot. So Eichan Amar, Rav Yosef Amar, Bein Kol Bracha O Bracha. Rav Sheshit Amar, Bahazkarat Hashem. Rav Yosef says, they would say, Yivrech Hashem V'yishmerecha. And then the people would say their pasuk. And second, third. But Rav Sheshit says, no. In each of the three brachot of the Kohanim, there's Shem Hashem. And in Beit HaMikdash, it was the real thing. Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. The way it's supposed to be pronounced. So if Sheshit says, no, the people would shout out their Pasuk when they heard Shem Hashem. I guess similar to the way that we reenact on Yom Kippur, when they would hear Shem Hashem, right? In other words, that was response to hearing Shem Hashem. So in Duchening, when they heard Shem Hashem, they would respond with whatever that pasuk was. It must have been. I mean, maybe they had like cards. They didn't have sidurim, of course. You have to remember, like, what the psukim were. Mela for Shacharis. But to remember what the three psukim are for the. You think you'd be able to remember the three random psukim for a fast day?
Somebody would have to walk around with an index card, in his pocket.
What were the fast days?
Fast days were Nagid the same as ours. They didn't have Tisha B'Av, that's true. No, but first of all, it could be the fast days that are not connected to the calendar, but fast days for drought.
Yeah, so wouldn't they have more? That's why I'm thinking they
would
have more.
Well, not if it's good weather. Anyway, you understand my point. So pligi be rav mari v'rav zvid. I don't know. I'm cheating. It's on the first paragraph here. So pligi be rav mari v'rav zvid. Chad amar psuka lekabel psuka. Chad amar akol psuka amar lehu lekula. So one says they would say one pasuk at a time, and the other one says they would say all three of them together at the end. So Omer Bichia Bar Abba, Kol HaAmran BeGvulin Eino Elotoy. So Rav Chia says that this whole ceremony of the psukim was only recited in Beit HaMikdash, and it was not recited. Not just wasn't it recited in Bavel; it wasn't recited in Efradi Rakodesh. Right, it was only in Beit HaMikdash. So Omer Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Teda de b'mikdash nami lo miboyla memrinu. Right, and Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa rejects the whole thing. He says in Beit HaMikdash they wouldn't do this either. He did not accept this minhag of reciting psukim in response. Right, and so what are they doing? The Kohanim are saying the bracha. And what are the people doing in response?
Interrupting.
Well, what are the nature of all these psukim?
They're blessing God.
They're blessing God. So Rabbi Chinya bar Papa says, no, this doesn't make sense. Klum yesh locha eved she mivarchin oto ve'eno ma'azin? You're getting a bracha. You shouldn't be blessing back. You should be listening to the bracha. Right? In other words, the master compliments the eved. What should the eved do? Should sit, stand there, and listen.
Say thank you.
Right. In other words, I don't know. Imagine, you know, the king says to the eved, you know, oh, your service night at the banquet was very good. The eved says, thanks, Your Majesty, and I want you to know your crown was very shiny. Right? It's not proper. It's not. Oh, that's an interesting question. Well, the Kohanim are an intermediary. And the source of bracha is certainly Hashem. So here, no, who's the master in this metaphor? Not the Kohanim. It's Hashem.
Sukkim are not blessing the Kohanim. Sukkim are not blessing the Kohanim. Sukkim are blessing God.
The Sukkim back are blessing God, right. So Omar of Acha bar Chanina, Teida de Begvulin Nami Miboyle Memrinu. So Acha bar Chanina says, no. In outside Beit HaMikdash, they also would have said these Sukkim. Klum Yesh Evet Shemevarchim Oto Ve'ein Mazbir Panim. He says, no, you can say the exact opposite. You bless the slave, he should be mazbir panim, he should have a nice response. Somebody pays you a compliment, you should pay a compliment back. So either way, you can read the Gemara either way. And there's no clear resolution. Now Shalom's point raises the interesting question that Rashi brings. The Pasuk says, in Naso, No. V'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem v'ani avarech otam. What is the antecedent of otam?
Well, some say the Kohanim, some say the
That's exactly what Rashi says.
What's an antecedent? Sorry.
I threw you the ball. You caught it. It is a pronoun that refers back to the ball.
Okay.
The ball is the antecedent of it.
Okay.
V'ani avarchem. I will bless them. What's the antecedent of the them here? So Rashi says, Vani Varchem, he quotes the Gemara in Chulin. Vani Varchem li Yisrael, vaskimim ha-kohanim. In other words, place my name upon the Jewish people, and God says, place my name upon the Jewish people, and I will bless them. That's who's doing the blessing here? God is, through the Kohanim. Right? Or the Kohanim give the bracha and then God comes and he gives his gushpanka to it. Askim. Davar acher va'ani avarchem l'kohanim. No, it's not fair. Well, how could it work? It is the Kohanim are giving the bracha to the Am. But why should the Kohanim be out? So you, Kohanim, give a bracha to the people and I will give a bracha to you. You shouldn't lose out.
Yeah, the first way you're including the Kohanim also.
Why?
They're part of the No, but not physically.
No. No. In other words, according to the first Shita, the Kohanim are giving the bracha to Bnei Israel. But I, God, will also give my bracha to the Bnei Israel, who received the bracha of the Kohanim. But on the second one, Kohanim, you bless the Am.
What does the Kohanim say? It's saying, Baruch Hashem Yishmerecha.
Yeah, that's a bracha.
But
they're not caught. In other words, I say, God should bless you. You sneeze, I say, God bless you. Who's giving the bracha? I'm giving the bracha. Whether God chooses to bless you or not, because you sneezed, is...
Isn't that with all brachos? Any bracha you give, it is meaningless if God says, I agree.
I don't know. In other words, what's the point of it? What,
I mean, if you give a different thing to the child on Friday night.
Yeah, well, we have to differentiate.
God says yes, I'm,
yes, but well, we have to differentiate between brachot and brachot. In other words, we're not talking about the bracha brei pera etz. Shakol ni abidvro. Right? That's something else. Right? That's a way of asking permission for me to drink this gentleman Jack.
That's actually blessing God.
Right, as I'm blessing God, but the mechanism of blessing God is what allows me to partake of the pleasures of the world.
I'm saying, but just to keep the right. Direction is not...
Right,
that's
right.
The main
right.
Reason why
I'm talking. But when I bless my children, or I bless you for a happy birthday, or a long life, for a birkot hedyo. So what is it? So obviously, all bracha comes from Hashem. But whether God is listening or not, or whether God answers me or not, there's still some force to the idea that I am blessing you, that I am extending my wish to you, that I am expressing my hopes that all should be well with you. Right? Now, whether it will come to pass or not, there seems to be some force to it, which is why we say, Al tia birkot hedyot kal beinecha. Right? Somebody wishes you well. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Don't take it lightly. Right? You should take these things with seriousness. So, and as Rashi brings these two deot from the Gemara, because it's not clear what's going on here. Maybe the bracha Birkat Kohanim really is the Kohanim are giving, and that's what we call it Birkat Kohanim. Right?
There's a whole idea about where you stand, you receive the bracha, and the Kohanim would also not be in that, in the scope of the bracha.
They're clearly not receiving the bracha. They're channeling the bracha.
I'm saying it's not just a general thing, everywhere. Right.
So the Rav goes on here in the second paragraph here on line 17.
To swap. The people swap places. Why is the Kohanim put the tails over the head? So
you don't know.
Not directional. Right, the Kohen could say, "I'm not going him. I'm doing that one." Right. Everybody swap places.
Well, that's why there's this problem that, if there's.
How do you know that?
What?
How do you know that? Yeah, the tails over the head.
He heard.
We know you're tripping.
I was back. I was waving. It'd be a good thing. That was me. Okay.
No, that's the whole idea that if you're Cohen, if there's a sone in the shul, the Cohen's barogas with somebody. It's a problem for him to duchen, because you have to bless ba'ahavad. And the Rebbe says, "Divrei sugya tuunim hezber." This whole Gemara in Sota needs a little explanation. Aleph, ma yesodu makara mirat pesukim elu. What is the source and purpose of saying these verses when the Kohanim are giving the bracha? Yuyan berashi alatar shepiresh sheyiru mazbirei panim umodim lefanav al birchotav leharot shehen nochot lehen. It's a way of acknowledging that Hashem is giving you a bracha, and showing that you're desirous of getting this bracha. So Rashi in the Gemara in Sota is according to who?
Last opinion, Rav Acha Bar Chanina.
No, he's like the first Shita in Rashi in Chumash, okay. Right? And as according to the Rashi in the Gemara, who's giving the bracha?
Hashem.
The Kohanim are just the intermediaries. And therefore, the response is to say, thank you, Hashem. Because I remember when I was a kid, there was the Kohanim with Duchen, Yontif. There was an old guy who would say, Shkoyach Kanim. Okay, no, what's Kanim? Right? Shkoyach Kanim. All right? So we say, when the Kohanim come down, we say, Yeshkoyach. Right, but really, according to the Rashi here, no, the Kohanim, they're just the mailman. Right? They didn't write the letter. Your grandmother sends you a check for your birthday. You don't thank the mailman for the $36.
You might.
You thank for the delivery.
Thank him for the delivery, but not for the gift.
No.
Not for the bracha. Right? So, thank God the Kohanim are better than today's mailman. So the Rav says, first we have to understand, what does this mean that they, what are these psukim? So he quotes Rashi that says it's a way of thanking Hashem for it's the proper response to getting the bracha. Me'ein ze katav la'alan. Later in that Gemara, the next daf in that Gemara, laharaot shebirkat rabo chashuva lo ve'areva alav ve'tigmal rabo alav bekach. It's a way of showing that it's. I'm not sure how this is different, but it's a way of showing that, like, you know, the bracha of your master here, the master being Hashem, is desirous and is something that you're grateful for. Acht varav tu'unim biur. But Rashi's comments here still need a little explanation. Bet. Mahu ha-hevdel bein mikdash legvulin. Why, at least according to the first sheet in the Gemara, is this something that's only done in Beit HaMikdash? You know what Gvulin is. Gvulin's nickname is every place outside of Beit HaMikdash. It's a machlokus, actually. It's a machlokus between Rashi and the Rambam. Whether the distinction between Mikdash and Gvulin is inside the Beit HaMikdash and outside the Beit HaMikdash, or inside the Chomot Yerushalayim and outside the Chomot Yerushalayim. There is a shita that here Mikdash doesn't just mean Har HaBayit, it means all of what we call the Old City. What's the one nafkamina for that lahalocha today?
Lulav.
In other words,
not on the first day.
Lulav and maybe shofar on Rosh Hashanah, comes out on Shabbos. We don't paskin that way. There are some people that do, but we don't paskin that way, generally speaking. But lulav, where there's no difference, lulav is diraisa on the first day and dirabanan on the subsequent days. Except in Beis HaMikdash, where it's diraisa all seven days, usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem shivat yamim. Now there's a steer in the pasuk. Ulakachtem lachem biyom arishon, take on the first day, then smachtem lefnei Hashem elokecha shivat yamim. So how many days is lulav? Is it one day or is it 7 days? So it's one day everywhere, but it's 7 days when you're lefnei Hashem elokechem. When are you lefnei Hashem elokechem? In Beit HaMikdash. We take all 7 days, the first day diraisa, the rest of the days dirabonon, zechel mikdash. If we could go into Beit HaMikdash, you'd be able to be mekayim the mitzvah d'iraisol. But maybe lifnei Hashem Elokechem means inside the iratika. So there are people that are makbid to go iratika every day of Sukkot because there's one sheet of the Rambam. There's one sheet that it's your mekayim and mitzvah d'iraisa. So the people that are makbid to go in the Old City to take lulav every day.
Especially and in the year that Sukkot...
Especially if the first day of Sukkot is on Shabbos, so there's no mitzvah d'iraisa for us b'chlal. And even if you daven here in the morning on the first, second, third day of Chol HaMoed, you mekayim mitzvah derabanan. You go for tiul into the Old City, you find a chabadnik standing there by the corridor always with the lulav and esrog. You should take lulav again without a bracha. You should take lulav again because maybe now you have a chance to be mekayim
on the right. It has to be yours.
No, but he's makne to you as a matona.
You do have to treat the way you all the extra halachot you have in the first day. You have to treat that as well. People who even according to Shita Majidah the Rambam, the corn balls of the Old City are considered.
That's a different machlokas. That's a different machlokas. Presumably, the kedusha expands with whatever the walls are. But if you're at the Kotel, the Holodayot, that's the Old City at every stage of history.
Oh, by Cheney.
Even by Rishon.
No. The Rechaba in front of the Kotel wasn't in the city by...
I don't know. This is not my...
Not the Chabad house.
Yeah, it might be.
The Kotel. Right.
Yeah, I would think so.
Right. The Kotel, yeah.
Sometimes
right. But certainly, when Chazal were talking about this, they were talking about Bayit Sheni. So whatever the, but I think we say for this purpose, whatever the walls are, I don't know.
I mean, by the way, this is relevant to the Gemara in general. And do we do this already, or are we going to do it about
Samach Venira? Yes. We haven't gotten to the Samach Venira yet. Bet ma'u avdel bein mikdash l'gvulin u'ma pesher hadea she hapsukim ha'ele ne'emarim b'mikdash ach lo b'gvulin. If these are the nice psukim to say, what difference does it make where you are? You could say that if you duchen outside of Beit HaMikdash, you can also say them. Yom b'Rashi shepirish shalonit kenu lomar ela lichvod shem hamiyuchad hanizkar b'mikdash. No. Rashi says, these psukim are the response to hearing Shem Hashem Mefurash.
Maybe I missed something before, but doesn't this contradict what we say on Yom Kippur, which is from the Mishnah, that everyone said Rosh Hashem Kvod when they heard Shem Hashem Mefurash?
That was not during Birka Kohanim.
That was
during the Ach Gam Dvarav Eile.
Why would it be different?
Because it wasn't being blessed. You're just hearing the name.
No, because in other words, this is part of like the daily Avodah Beit HaMikdash. And there, it's talking about didn't have all this Beis HaMikdash.
Right, but it's like, it's what the people did in response to Kelu. Like, my impression was like, when you hear Shem HaMeforash, if you fall on your face, you say Baruch Shem Kvod. So whether or not it's during Avodat Yom Kippur or Birkat
Kohanim. It's not during a bracha. That's what it's during a bracha, you're kind of contradicting the bracha. Here you just heard he said Ana, he did a vidui, and he said Shem Hashem Mefurash and Yom Kippur, but he wasn't giving a bracha. It's like it's a bracha. Just
no, but
if someone's giving
Gemara,
you a bracha, just
no, right? I mean, that's according to the Man Gemara says you shouldn't say anything, but according to the Man Gemara says you should. Okay.
And anyway, so that's what Rashi says, and the Rav says still it's still not 100% clear. Now he says Vehni Rebazen. Here he quotes our Gemara. This is the Mishnah that we're in the middle of learning. That's how we got into the topic of duchening, remember. The Mishnah was listing things that require a minyan, and it mentioned duchening. What's the source for requiring 10? Omer b'chia bar Abba, Omer b'yochanan, v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Kol davar shebekdusha lo yehe pachot me'asara. L'fumrita mashma sheta'amu makor ze mishamesh af lebirkat kohanim. Right, so you can say that for this reason of v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael is the same source, is the same reason that you need a minyan for Birkat Kohanim. Ach yuan baran al harif sham shekatav v'chtiv ko tivarchu et b'nei Yisrael emor lahem u'b'nei Yisrael asara mashma. When he says, and as the Ran says, when it says ko tivarchu b'nei Yisrael, what is b'nei Yisrael? So Bnei Yisrael like implies that you need to have like a group. What's a group? Ten. Does it mean? Kedi alfinim begemara leinian davar shebekedusha v'chulei. Hareish ledaato tzarich asara lebirkat kohanim. Eino tzarich asara lebirkat kohanim. Eino mishum davar shebekedusha. Ela shealfinim midavar shebekedusha ki bechol makom shehatora omeret Bnei Yisrael he mitkavenet laasara. According to the Ran, Birkat Kohanim is not a davar shebekedusha. Birkat Kohanim is something which requires the presence of 10 people.
In general, or where in the Ron, how would you define davar shebekedusha? I assume davar shebekedusha is a thing that needs 10. I mean, is there a definition?
Yes, so it seems that there's like, you can split this hair. There's a davar shebekedusha, something which cannot be recited except in the presence of a minion. The Kriyat Torah cannot take place except in the presence of a minyan. If I take out the Sefer Torah, like there's a problem. Like if we don't have a minyan, I can't say Baruch Hu Et Hashem Amvarach. And if I do, I've been motzei shem Hashem l'shav. There's no problem. Just like I can open this chumash and read psukim, I could take out the Torah scroll. You know, like we do.
They used to learn from Torah.
Like we do, like when the kid is practicing bar mitzvah the night before. They used to learn the Sefer Torah was once a Sefer before they printed the chumash. You could take this Sefer Torah out of the Aron, and we could read from it. We could learn it. But in the absence of 10, it's not Kriyat HaTorah. It's a Kriya from a Torah. Right? It does not constitute the ritual with which we can fulfill our obligation to have Kriyat HaTorah. On the other hand, apparently, the Ran has this idea that there are certain things that require 10 people, not because they're Dvarim Sheb Kedusha, but because they have to be done publicly. There is this idea we saw that when you lane the Megillah, not at the, do you need a minion for create the Megillah?
No.
It's always preferable, Barov Amhadris Melech, to do things Pesume Nisa. But a person all by himself who sits alone on his desert island reading the Megillah, Yotze Me'achuz. However, we do have this idea that when you are laning not at the proper time, when you're laning the sugi that we learned in the beginning of the Megillah, right? A Megillah Nikrit. Mm-hmm. That if you're not laning the Megillah on Yud Dalet or Tet Vav and Yushalayim, then it needs to be done in the presence of 10. Does that mean it's a Davar Shebekedusha? No. It means that it's something that has to be done in a tzibur, in a gathering of people. The Purim Mishulash. When is it coming up? It's not this year, but next year, right? When is Erev Pesach going to be on? It's coming up. Not in 2019. Not in 2018, maybe in 2019. You know, whenever you have Erev Pesach on Shabbos, so you have Purim Mishulash, which doesn't affect us, but it affects the Yerushalmim. Well, it affects us only because we have Suda on Friday. Suda on Friday. But it doesn't affect the same way. So Purim Mishulash in Yerushalayim, they lane when?
No. The same as here.
They lane on Friday.
They lane on Friday.
They need to be.
And therefore,
it's the only time Yerushalmim have to hear the Megillah hungry.
Right. Therefore, in Yerushalayim, on Purim Mishulash, they have to be makbid to hear it with 10. On a Purim Mishulash in Yerushalayim, which means they're laning not on their real day. They're laning on Yud Dalet. Because Tet Vav is on Shabbos, and you don't lane on Shabbos. Learning Thursday night and Friday on Yud Dalet. They have Suda on Friday. They read. They
Suda on Sunday.
No, Suda's on Friday. Suda's on Sunday. Suda's on Sunday. Matanot Levyonim is on Friday. Mishloach Manot is a machloket. Some people give on Friday. Some people give on Sunday. Some people give on both. I've only once ever experienced the Purim Mishulash in Yerushalayim. Only it happened once when we were living in Yerushalayim. So that's another example. Do they have to lane because you need a minion for Kriyat HaMegillah? No. You need to lane with 10 people because it has to be a public event.
There's no women's Kriyat HaMegillah.
So because of that, it's Akasha. So there's some that say, on this occasion, when you need 10 people, it's not 10 people, 10 men who are bar mitzvah for the purpose of saying Dvar Hashem B'Kedusha. It's having a critical mass. What's a critical mass in halacha? 10 people. So maybe for this purpose is when the women have a Kriyas HaMegillah, the Yerushalmiyot have a Kriyas HaMegillah. Maybe you need to just be careful to have 10 women. Others say no, they should have 10 men. So I know that, I don't know what they do now. Once upon a time in Midrashat Lindenbaum, when my wife was in charge of the Kriyat HaMegillah for many years, they did the women's Kriyat HaMegillah, which then was a little less mikubal than it is today. And they did it according to the opinion of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And I think that first year that they started doing it, it happened to be a Purim Mishulash. And although he gave his haskama to doing the women's Kriyat HaMegillah, he thought that it should not be done in Yerushalayim on a Purim Mishulash because of this issue. Okay, we'll continue with this next week. So either give them back to me or hold on to them.
Yeah, it's garbage.